This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. As we prepare for Easter, we observe a period of time known as Lent, the 40 days prior to Easter Sunday, the first day of Lent on Ash Wednesday, which was February 17th this year. Ashes were placed on the foreheads of the faithful in the sign of the cross to remind them of Christ's death, of the sorrow one should feel for his or her sins, and of the necessity of repenting. Lent is a special time of reflecting in prayer and fasting upon the importance of our redemption and salvation, made possible through not only Christ's suffering on the cross, but including his resurrection. This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to visit us this Lenten season at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, March 21st, 2021. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning on this second day of spring. And it really is spring because my crocus are up. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, we come into your presence bound together by the love that died and rose again for us, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Help us to be a reflection of that love to the world around us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us turn our hearts now to a time of prayer. Let us begin that in silence as we center our hearts, our minds, and ourselves before the very throne of our loving God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, let us remind ourselves that as we pray, we are in your presence. For we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Christ, Savior, Redeemer. We come to you this morning out of the brokenness of our lives, out of the failures, but also out of the triumphs, the joys, and celebrations. Father, we come to you in the midst of difficulties or in the midst of successes. We come to you in the midst of sorrow or in the midst of joy. We come to you to raise hands of praise on a mountaintop or bowed knees and humbled hearts in the valley below. We come to you from wherever we may be in our life and in our life's journey. We're all in a different place. We're all coming along at our speed with you. Some are running ahead. Some are catching up. And yet others are waiting to see. Others are uncertain. And Father, regretfully, some have chosen not to believe in your Son. And for them, we pray in earnest that they would receive your grace. Father, we pray today for the many needs within our hearts and lives. No need any greater than to know that we are forgiven of our sins. And Father, second only to that is that you would give us the strength to forgive ourselves and others, to let go that we may live, to surrender that we may have life, to give away this life in this world, to grasp the new life that is in you. Father, as you forgive us, as we seek in your grace to forgive ourselves, give us the power and the spirit to forgive others, to share of your love, your grace, and your mercy through actions and not just words, to help us be encouragers instead of tearing down, help us to build up. Help us to share that which is good and to not focus on that which isn't. Father, we pray for the many needs within our church, but then we extend that prayer to the needs within your church greater, to pray for all of those who believe in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we pray for our leaders, our communities, our kids go back to school. We pray for them, their families, the teachers and administrations. Father, that they would see the need of the kids, the real need, and that in truth and honesty and self-sacrifice, without agendas, that need would be pressed to the forefront. Father, we pray for the leaders in our community, our nation, and the world. Father, it seems that things in the world are quite unstable and uncertain. Father, we pray that hearts would turn to you. Father, I would also pray that you haven't hardened hearts and closed ears as you have done in history, and that redemption, salvation, and restoration is still on the table for our nation. Father, we pray for those who are sick and suffering. May you comfort them, heal them. May you be with them. And may you touch them. And may you hear us now as together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our liturgy for today is found in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
My message is going to be a little different than a typical message that I would share. And I really prayed about this a lot. And I feel like we live in a time and we live in a place where often the economy of Christ and God and faith is different, and it's actually opposing to much of the world around us. We learn at a very young age loss. But even more than that, we learn to possess things, to hold on to things, and then to be upset by their loss. Maybe the first thing we learn to hold on to is a pacifier. We stick those little guys into binkies, whatever you want to call them. We stick those little guys in a kid's mouth and they shut up. It's a miracle. How many of you, this is going to tell my age, remember a wonderful chemical called paregoric? That baby sleep all the way through church if you're little on their gums. Okay, now don't you tell me you never did it. That's what I thought. See, I'm old as dirt. You know, you don't have good drugs like that anymore. You could buy that over the counter. Upset stomach, a little bit of that stuff. If you could swallow it, it went away. Teething, great stuff. It was good stuff. But it was, good. Benadryl became its replacement later on and things like that. But we learn at an early age to hold on to things. And maybe it's a pacifier. Maybe it's a bottle. Maybe it's mom. Maybe we're a little spoiled and mom don't turn us loose, and so we hold on. But then when there does always come a time when we have to let go, the baby hunts the binky, hunts the bottle. Hey, you've been there, right? And then as we get older, maybe we'll hold on to a blankie or a teddy bear or a stuffed animal. Maybe we've got us something else that we hold on to. I remember all the things that my kids would hold on to, and Carrie's told us about a Blue's Clues chair, thinking chair, that even when they took Garrett out for a meal, it had to go too. So, how many of you have been there? You don't want to admit it, do you? Well, I bet you still do it. How many of you can tell if somebody else has been in your car driving it? There you go. I can always tell if Carrie's drove my truck, because the first thing I do when I get in is my knees hit the brake controller and the rearview mirror, all I can see is the inside of the tailgate. There's been a little shrimp over there in the seat. I can always tell, but I've drove my truck so long, 300,000 miles. I've driven this truck or 300,000 miles now. I can tell you if there's anything that isn't normal. I could really tell you if somebody's moved my seat cushions. I can. How many of you can do that? How many of you have your favorite spot in your bed? Yeah. How many of you have your favorite chair? And you don't like to lose those things, right? You don't like people messing with those things either, do you? We have stuff that we hold on to. How many of us have loved so much someone in our lives that the thought of not having them was almost more than we could endure? How many of us have been loved by someone that the thought of losing them could be unbearable? And how many of us have lost someone like that? The first one for me was my granny, Eleanor, we called her Elna, Harrison. She was a wonderful woman. She was the granny's house that you went to as a kid that had that 12 pounds of red lipstick on. And that when you went through the door, you got it. All over, everybody knew you had went to granny's. Because I got news for you, you could wipe that stuff off, but it was still there. You just got a little redder in the face because you just smeared it around. You know, just the more you rubbed it, the bigger it got. It was like an oil stain, you know. It just kind of grew. And that was my granny. Granny was wonderful. I loved granny. Granny loved me. But how many of you ever had a kid that had bad habits when they were little? I'm just kidding. He's just handy. I was a biter. Was anybody else a biter when they were little? And my cousin Artie, Granny had us over, and I was a biter. And Granny told me, she said, I'm going to break you from that boy. Well, me and Artie was wrestling. So next thing I knew, I'd bit him. You know, nothing unusual there. And I ain't talking about no gentle bend bite. I'm talking about let's put some teeth marks in there. And Artie was screaming. That was what I enjoyed. Because he would just kick and scream, and I'd bite him on the belly or bite him on the shoulder or the neck. The next thing I knew, I was elevated. I was loose. And Granny was biting me. And she wasn't being nice about the biting business. I started screaming. I sounded like Artie. I didn't bite no more. Because I'd go look, and there was Granny's teeth prints. Now, Granny had false teeth, and I was scared to death, but she didn't take them out to bite me. That's what she would do to put me to bed at night. She'd come in there and say, now, if I have to come back, brush your teeth. I brushed my teeth. How many of you had somebody like that? Oh, my goodness. I could tell you stories for days. My granny had Guillain-Barré syndrome. It took a few days to die. And I had to watch. A few years later, my dad would die. Dad was my bud. Dad was dad, you know. We didn't get along all the time. Lord knows we got into a fist fight when I was about 13, about Nick's age. I remember Daddy saying to me, son, I told him I wasn't his GD fetcher anymore. And he looked at me and he said, oh, you think you're a man? I said, yep, more than you are. And that was the first time Daddy hit me with his fist. And the fight ensued because I didn't quit. Next thing I know, we're laughing, going in the house. Mama's wondering what happened. We're all cut up. You know, you don't get in a fight in a garage and things not get to you. I mean, it's not the best place in the world getting a scuffle. But I remember when my dad died, he'd been in a nursing home, rapid onset Alzheimer's. And I was there when dad died. And I remember hurting so bad. Just hurting so bad. But at the same time, knowing that my dad had actually left me a few years before that. But this was it. And then I remember the grief that just kind of flooded over me. I was a pastor, raising kids and all that stuff, you know. And I remember driving home after getting the body to the funeral home and all of those things. And I remember driving home, which is about 120 miles, to the church I was pastoring and just thinking about how bad it hurt and cry a minute, you know, and get angry a minute. Anybody else been there? And I remember getting to Green River, North Carolina, part of Polk County. Nobody knows where that's, Landrum, South Carolina. Anyway, we down there in the South. And I remember driving up, and Frank and Janice Moffitt were sitting in my driveway. He was my lay leader. She was a piano player. And when I got out of my car, they both just started hugging. I remember doing my daddy's funeral. And Charles Willis and Forrest Westall were the other pastors. Forrest was the pastor of the church. And I remember looking out there and seeing 40 or 50 church members who had drove from Polk County to the mountains just to be there. I remember the Murphy girls singing. Daddy loved to hear them sing. We did the private graveside the next day. And I remember going back home. And Hugh Miller come by the house. Hugh was like 85 years old. And he was one of those guys that walked with two walking sticks. He shouldn't have been driving. But he come by the house. And I seen him coming. He had them walking sticks. And he coming up, thump, thump, thump with a walking stick. And, you know, I'm still trying to process all this. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. And he shook that cane at me. He said, I'm not coming in, but I'm just going to tell you. You better notice what you have, son, not what you've lost. And he went and left. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it will remain a single grain. But if it falls into the ground, it will grow and give more. I've read that at funerals and gravesides, including my dad's. But until Hugh Miller shook his cane at me and said, I want to share something with you, I never heard what this said before. You see, in the economy of us as Christians, to lose is to gain. But if we are taught by the world's standards and the way that we've been raised and the way that we've been taught, we'll focus on that which we have lost instead of that which we have. We'll get tied up in that which is broken, that which is lost, that which is wrong. We'll get tied up in abuse. We'll get tied up in addiction, and we won't see what God has for us. We have to lose it to gain it. You cannot fill your hands with a new blessing if they're full of holding on to the past. You have to let some things go. Jesus says, if you love your life in this world, you'll lose it unto eternal life. Don't get so lost in the temporary that you forget the eternal. Don't let yourself be a prisoner of the past of pain, but move forward with the hope that is in Christ. I came out of the grief of my dad that afternoon as I sat down in the living room and bawled my eyes out. And then I remembered that my daddy always, in the wintertime, wore a green toboggan. And every time he had that green toboggan on, that meant, oh my God, we're going to have to cut trees today. That was the logging toboggan. And that meant bad stuff, tree cutting, skidder driving, cable pulling. Hey, you ain't never done nothing like that. You don't know what work is until there's a skidder sitting on top of the mountain and you've got a leather belt around your waist with four skidder hook eyes in it and choker cables wrapped around you, and you pull a live line hooked in your back off down under the mountaintop, and your job is to hook those logs up and gain them up onto six or seven and bring them into one. Which means you may have to chop a wedge. You don't know what I dreaded about that. But you know what else I enjoyed about that? Lunchtime. Go figure, Nick. I enjoyed lunch. I was so hungry by lunchtime. It's cut up, skinned up, scraped up. And it was always, Daddy brought the bucket. I know, folks, if you ain't been poor like us, that's what we ate out of. And if you remember some of these miners, I'm sure that's what they took food with. There would be tomatoes. Daddy would fry eggs, bust the yellow to fry them hard fried. Biscuits left over from yesterday. I was excited for lunch. And Daddy always had some story to tell, you know, whatever. I could remember, too, that if I ever needed my daddy, he was a phone call away. And he would show up 100%, not reluctantly. And then I remember Granny and how she loved us. Then I remembered Rhonda. Then all of a sudden, God let all the things that were gone. They were gone. My daddy was gone. My granny was gone. Rhonda was gone. Nola was gone. All of the names that I could name in my mind, God just brought them in. God brought them all in that living room that afternoon. And he said, don't look at what you lost. Look at what you had. Look at what you know. Look what you've experienced. Look where you've been. Look at the things that these people have been a part because they gave of themselves. That you may have these life experiences. And that I wouldn't bite other people. You know. And then, the economy of Christianity is focus on what you have, not what you've lost. Because sometimes to lose is to gain. To let go of hurt and pain and angers and frustrations is to gain freedom and new life. In John, this is the turning point. Jesus is fixed on the cross. Soon in John's gospel, he'll undergo death. And the very words that he finishes with will be fulfilled. Satan said, I win. I'm going to have you killed. We're going to put you on the cross and it'll be over. But God said, I have glorified you, Son, and I will glorify you again. As the tomb was empty and the stone rolled back. May we today realize that to lose is to gain. May we travel a little lighter, reflect a little better, and be thankful for what we have more than what we don't. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Jesus also says, those who love me, will follow me. The path Jesus was to travel would not be easy. And maybe the path we have to travel will not be so either. Christ says, my heart is troubled, but should I turn away? Maybe we will face difficulties, loss, persecution. Maybe we will face rejection and ridicule. But let us focus on what we have. Let us focus on the eternal and not the temporary. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, I'm struggling with some of the things you've talked about, these feelings of loss and trying to move forward, but it just seems to overwhelm me. Pray for me that I will be able to focus on what I have more than what I've lost. Slip your hand up and take it. Amen. Pastor, I'm just struggling with trying to get through stuff in my life. It seems overwhelming. Let me pray for you. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, I'm uncertain about the world around me, and I am worried. Pray that I can focus on what I have and not what could be. Slip your hand up that I would pray for you. Amen. Pastor, I'm facing some struggle this week. I'm going to be doing some stuff and faced with some difficult decisions. Would you pray that I'll honor God in them if you'll lift a hand? Amen. I want to pray with you this morning. I want you to pray with me. Join me now as we pray together. Our gracious and loving God, you can repeat that. Help me see what I have. Help me praise you for what I have. Father, help me let go of what I've lost and remember what I've gained. Father, help me let go of sin and hold on to you. Help me forgive myself. Help me forgive others. Father, help me not find fault, but find good as you would do. Father, let your Holy Spirit lead and guide me and give me the strength to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may we go to be the church, to continue it outside the doors, to share the good news, to share that we don't come to church as perfect people, but acknowledging our own brokenness, we find ourselves in a place called sanctuary. And now may God's grace, peace, and mercy go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.